causeway, its hide back out of the water like the Loch Ness Monster doing stretches. The shore on the other side of the river twinkled with lights from hotels and condos. Occasionally a set of headlights would appear from the other side and travel over the causeway like a slow-moving shooting star over the beast's back.
"It's beautiful here," Dre said,
leaning over the dashboard and looking out over the water.
"I forgot how much I love it here. My summers here with Myrna were the best of my life."
"Me too," I admitted.
She sighed and sat back against the seat. "So you need to get Max out of the system. How exactly can I help with that?"
I picked the file up from my center console and set it on her lap. I leaned over to her with my chin resting just above her shoulder. I wet my thumb on my tongue when a few of the pages wanted to be assholes and stick together. When I got them separated, I plucked the paper I needed out of the file and held it up, only to find Dre staring at my mouth when I handed it to her.
"What?"
She put her hands on the seat and shifted like she couldn't get comfortable.
"Nothing," she said, pointing down to the file again. "What is all this?"
"I'm going to need your talents if I'm going to make any of this work."
"Talents?" she asked, looking confused.
"Did Myrna tell you I had some sort of talent? Because I think you might have caught her during one of her bad times. The only talent I have is sabotaging my own life."
She tapped her index finger a few times against the seam of her lips.
"Oh," she exclaimed with a snap of her fingers. Leaning closer, she placed a hand on the side of her lips as if she were warding off lip readers.
"When I was in kindergarten, I always colored inside the lines.
Although, I'm sad to say, I never pursued it professionally." She sighed deeply.
"One of my many regrets in life."
I found myself smiling back at Dre, and it sure as shit wasn't as a result of her joke, because it wasn't nearly as funny as she seemed to think it was. But if smiles were infectious, then Dre's was the plague of smiles. Extremely contagious.
"Listen, Doc. I have no doubt that you were a coloring badass at one time, a Crayola savant, if you will. Unfortunately, that skill isn't really going to work in this particular situation," I said, nodding to the papers on her lap. "I need to create a paper trail so I look like an exceptional citizen in every way." I leaned back against the door.
"Like Martha Stewart."
Dre lifted her head and scrunched up her nose.
"Martha Stewart did time for insider trading."
I sat back up.
"Then John Stewart or Tony Stewart or whichever Stewart looks like someone the state would want to give a kid to. Fuck, even Kristen Stewart would do," I said. "Although I hear she's a lesbian now, which is awesome, by the way. But if she lived here, they might not give her a kid, because Florida's southern and very conservative," I said, repeating Grace's words.
"Well, we are in Florida. It doesn't get much more southern than that," Dre said.
"Yeah," I agreed. "We're so southern that we're below the Bible Belt. We're like the cock of the South," Dre laughed.
"Did you know that gay marriage isn't a thing here yet?" I asked.
"I actually did know that," Dre said, tilting her head to the side while she went over the papers.
"Well, I knew that. I can't exactly say I'm up to date on current events just yet. Normally, when I went off on a tangent, especially to someone who didn't know me very well, most people like to call me out when I veered off track and would try to rein me back in. I was beginning to notice that Dre didn't do that. In fact, every time my brain steered me off course, she'd let me go with it until I found my way back around on my own. It was different. Long story short is that I need to be a model citizen, and the list in that file tells us what we are going to need to make that happen. Since I can't exactly prove a lot of that shit the legit way, I need your skills to create them."
I got out of the car and she followed, file in hand. I leaned against the hood and lit a joint, inhaling the smoke along with the salty air.
Dre's head was still in the papers as I continued, her bottom lip between her teeth. "At first, before Myrna told me what a diabolical genius you were with the forgery, I was going to get you a job at the clerk's office and see what you could do to move things along. You know, emails, files, signature stamps, whatever might help," I explained. "But when she told me you created the check itself, watermark and all, I figured we could use that talent to make a big dent in that list a lot faster."
She didn't answer. Instead, her face twisted like she was in pain. She shifted sideways, pulling up one of her knees and unknowingly exposing a strip of white panties between her legs before rearranging her dress. The memory of her smell, the taste of her on my tongue, flooded my senses and had me momentarily forgetting why I was there. Because Dre's stunning-as-fuck pussy had shoved aside the red velvet rope and stolen the first spot in line at a club, I desperately wanted to shove my cock inside. If it was beautiful when it was battered, I couldn't imagine how perfect it looked, pink, puffy, and wet with excitement.
"Okay, but how the hell does it fix this shit with Myrna?" she asked.
I offered her the joint and she rolled her eyes. "Tell me, Duck, what are your plans when the assisted living place has an opening and Myrna moves to Sarasota?" I asked, blowing smoke rings out into the night. She shrugged.
"I hadn't thought too much about it. I can't go back to my dad."
"Actually, you could."
"Okay, let me be more direct. Where do you plan on living? Myrna's?"
"Maybe, if it's okay with her. I wouldn't make any assumptions, though. I'd have to ask her."
"See, that's where you're wrong. You can't stay at Myrna's when she moves."
She pushed off the hood and stood in front of me, any closer and I could pull her between my legs.
"I think we should leave that up to Myrna to decide."
"But it's not up to her."
She threw up her hands in frustration.
"Then who is it up to?"
I grabbed the file and pulled out the warranty deed Myrna had given me earlier. "The big-dicked, well-dressed motherfucker who owns the house, of course."
"Dre, you've got to be fucking kidding me," I said, not believing what I was holding in my hand. "Doc, I'm hurt. You know how very serious of a person I am," Preppy said with his hands over his heart. "So you're saying if I do this, forge the documents you need, then what? You'll let me stay there when Myrna goes to Sarasota? That's blackmail." "I know you're upset, but there's no need to be a racist." "Seriously," I said. "What, you want me to rent it from you?" I asked, shocked by what I was holding. I didn't give a damn about Myrna's possessions or her house, and I could understand why I wouldn't be the best choice to handle her affairs, but that didn't mean it still didn't sting.
"No, not like rent it from me." Preppy shook his head. "If this works and we can get Max back, then the house is yours, free and clear. I'll sign it over to you and you'll never have to worry about not having anywhere to stay ever again. And before you jump to any conclusions, I didn't weasel the house from Myrna in some scam where I forced her to marry me or anything. I didn't even know she was transferring the title. She just sprung this on me today."
I was quiet for a moment, glancing down at the paper, then out at the water again and again, without a single clear thought about what had just happened registering.
"If it helps any, your forgery skills are top-notch. Where did you learn all that shit?"
"Wowed?" I asked at his strange compliment.
"Yeah, and I've never really been wowed before. Okay, maybe once, but it was during American Ninja Warrior, and that guy who won was an amputee and a goddamn war hero. You'd have to be made of fucking stone to speak during the commentator's touching tribute while the camera zoomed in on his prosthetic leg and the Star-Spangled Banner played in the background."
My face contorted like I was about to be sick. "It's not a wow at all. It's not something I'm proud of. One of many things." He scoffed.
"We've all done shit we're not proud of. But for most people, that involves getting drunk and doing something fun that someone else disapproves of. Most people's shit they're not proud of file doesn't involve forging complicated documents, though. I mean, is forgery the new thing all the kids are doing? Maybe not. Because if it were a new thing, then there would for sure be a porn parody about it already. And since I haven't come across anything titled Teenaged Asian Forgers Take It Real Deep, I don't think the forgery trend is going to be all the rage anytime soon."
It was mostly Connor. He was always trying to literally print money. "I just picked up a few things along the way," I admitted. "I'm going to pay her back every last cent, plus interest, you know," I said. "I know that's the lie a lot of users tell themselves and others in order to follow through with whatever bad idea they had in mind, but I really am going to pay her back."
Preppy pushed off the hood. I believe you, he said, with actual sincerity in his voice.
Think of how much faster you'll be able to do that when you don't gotta worry about a roof over your head.
He held out his hand.
Deal?
Preppy was right, as much as I hated to admit it. I took his hand. Deal. When I tried to let go, he pulled me between his legs and wrapped his hands around my waist.
A handshake is so informal. We should seal this deal with a fuck. That sounds much more official, don't you agree?
I shook my head. I pushed off his shoulders. You know, sometimes I'm not sure when you're serious.
Oh, well, that's easy to figure out. I'm always sometimes joking in a way that's honest.
Totally cleared that up. Glad I could help. Preppy said as we both got in the car. He started the engine. I could go to prison for this, you know, I stated. And although I intended for it to be an argument, I found myself smiling. Preppy blew out a breath.
Minimum security doesn't even count.
I can't believe I just agreed to forge documents when I told myself I'd never do it again. I lamented. Preppy put the car in reverse.
Don't think of it that way, then.
How would you have me think of it, then? He wagged his eyebrows.
Think of it as coloring outside the lines.
Chapter 15. Dre.
Where are the shoes? I thought we'd agreed you'd wear the fuck-me heels.
He asked, when he saw me sitting on the rocker on the front porch in a pair of 50s-style denim high-waisted cutoffs with buttons on the front and a white wife-beater-style tank top that showed a small sliver of skin on my midsection. I'd opted for plain white Keds instead of my precious heels, which I seriously considered bubble wrapping for safekeeping. We didn't agree to anything of the sort. I stood up, and Preppy's eyes dropped to where my shorts stopped high on my thigh, and instantly I regretted wearing them. Besides, they didn't really go with the outfit.
In my head, you agreed to wear them. Actually, you agreed to a lot of things in my head. You want me to tell you about it?
Nope.
You really are a fun sucker, Doc.
10 minutes later, he was dragging me through the woods in the back of Myrna's house. The same woods I'd ran through when I ran from him weeks ago. And you wanted me to wear heels? I asked, stepping over a fallen tree branch. Where are you taking me, anyway?
Now, you ask?
Preppy asked, turning around with a look of surprise on his face.
There is a man dragging you through the woods with God knows what on my twisted mind, and now you think to ask me where we're going? I hate to say it again, Doc, but you're kind of shit at this life thing.
Working on it, I muttered.
I'll help you,
he said, ducking under a low-growing bush.
First lesson. Don't go into the woods with men you don't know, because more than likely they have plans that end with your parts being scattered across several counties.
No following strangers into the woods, I said, summarizing his lesson. Check.
Number two, no candy from strangers.
What if they're in a really cool van and parked by my playground? I asked with mock stupidity. And they have Reese's?
Well, then that all depends.
Depends on what? I asked as we finally found our way clear of the jungle of foliage. Preppy stepped out into the clearing, turning his face up to the sun.
If the creepy guy in the van is me or not.
Where most of Logan's Beach is flat, the clearing was rocky on all sides, with a large pond in the middle. Jagged rocks and piles of hard shell created a slope to a rocky perch 10 feet or so above my head and 20 feet above the water below. Preppy took up running off the slope, but I stayed put, wondering what on earth he was up to. I thought our funny banter about life lessons was a good step toward having a good time. I was almost looking forward to the rest of the day, but the second Preppy pulled off his shirt, I knew it was all a big fucking mistake.
Even with only his naked back in view while he set his shirt neatly on a nearby rock, I knew I was screwed. But when he turned around and I was given a full view of his upper body, I considered heading back to the tower for another dose of a life reality check, because he couldn't be real. He was complete and utter perfection. Painfully so. Colorful tattoos were inked over most of his skin. His defined abs flexed when he stretched his arms over his head. His biceps and forearms were lined with veins. He even had one of those V-things that ran into his jeans and had me licking my lips like he was a steak and I was a hungry lion. Which I wasn't. I was the weak, hurt lamb. Wasn't I? How the fuck did that movie go again? You've gotta be fucking kidding me, I thought, unable to tear my eyes away from the man, who, with the removal of one item of clothing, had turned from looking like a hipster professor type into walking sex.
Why am I kidding you?
He asked. That's when I realized I'd not exactly kept that thought to myself. There was no way to hide my staring, and since I couldn't rip my eyes away from his body, I decided to go with the truth, no matter how painful it was. Seriously, that's what you've been hiding under your Leave It to Beaver clothes? I asked, as he stood on the very edge of the ledge, where the sunlight highlighted every bit of his perfection. He looked like one of those tattoo models on the cover of Inked magazine. Was it too much to ask that he have lopsided nipples or a beer belly?
Like what you see, Doc?
Preppy asked, rubbing his chest, slowly sliding his hands down his abs, gyrating his hips like some sort of erotic dancer. A move I'd never found attractive. Until right then. Shit, there wasn't much I'd found attractive before Connor and I started on our road trip to hell. And the first stirring of any kind of desire in over a year comes courtesy of the devil in a bow tie. Man, I was really fucked up. God, no, I said, finding my voice. I mean, what kind of a person would like that? I asked, twisting my face in disgust. What I meant was that you're, like, seriously disgusting. You should just cover... I waved to his bare chest. All that up, I said sarcastically, rolling my eyes. If we were in public, there would be people puking everywhere at the sight of you. So gross. By the time I was done with my rant, Preppy's smile had grown so big it was blinding. Without warning, he shoved down the waistband of his pants. I quickly turned around so he wouldn't see the redness creeping up my neck at the thought of him without his pants on, and I kept rambling. Do a sit-up, for Christ's sake, before you go flashing your flabs all over the place. Preppy's chuckle echoed over the water.
What was that, Doc? He called out. You want to sit on my face?
I am so freaking screwed, I muttered, keeping my voice low, but he heard me anyway.
Not yet, anyway.
What the fuck? I asked, turning around. Do you have fucking sonic hearing, or maybe sonar like a dolphin? Preppy was perched at the edge of the ledge, dressed only in a pair of black boxers. With one last wag of his eyebrows in my direction, he held his nose and jumped off the rock, hugging his knees tightly to his chest. Cannonball! He yelled, until he connected with the water, sending a huge splash raining down over me. I guess I wasn't staying dry after all. I was wiping the water from my eyes and realized that was a huge mistake when my eyes began to sting. Shit! I said, stumbling around blindly. I heard the water dripping onto the rocks and Preppy's feet as he padded over to me.
Here, stop,
he said, taking my face in his hands and tilting my chin up so he could inspect my eyes.
The pond is salt water. It connects underground to some of the canals around here, and salt water is a bitch on the eyes. Open your eyes and blink as much as you can, and as fast as you can.
He ordered, and I listened. It stung at first, but after a minute the stinging sensation eased up, as a mixture of salt water and tears dripped from my eyes.
Thanks, I said, focusing on the man above me, his hair and beard dripping with water, droplets beating on his chest. He kept his hands on my face.
You're next, Doc, he said in a low, suggestive voice. I want you to get nice and wet.
Do you ever say anything that's not dripping with innuendo? I asked, pulling away from him and turning around to pull my now wet hair into a high ponytail. I heard Preppy padding back up to where he'd hung his jeans, and then the sound of his buckle as he got dressed. I made the very big mistake of whipping around too quickly, not realizing that Preppy was standing right behind me, and again I slammed right into his hard, wet chest. Even worse, when I put my hands out to cushion the impact, they landed low, too low, and right on something very large and very hard in the front of his pants. He shrugged.
Probably not, but I can't say for sure, being as I don't really keep track of that kind of shit,
he answered, following my gaze, which was still locked on the crotch of his pants, and the huge bulge pushing out the fabric. I said, diverting my eyes. Preppy laughed and reached into his waistband. Just as I was about to turn tail, thinking that I was about to come face to face with little Preppy in all his glory, he pulled out a pistol.
It's just my gun,
he said, tucking it back in, then wringing the water from his hair.
Although, the other weapon I'm packing down there is just as impressive.
Why do you have a gun? I asked, without thinking of how stupid my question really was. Maybe if he ever put his goddamn shirt back on, my case of stupid would turn back off.
Why do I have a gun?
He repeated, like it was the ridiculous question that it was.
'Cause throwing bullets by hand isn't exactly effective.
You carry that all the time? I asked, curious.
Every day that ends in Y.
Why, because you're a criminal?
Really? We're going there, Doc? 'Cause last time I checked, heroin wasn't exactly legal.
He leaned in closer like he was sharing a secret, whispering,
Neither is robbing your grandmother.
Fuck you, I spat, the lightness between us growing heavy in the span of a few words, like an anvil had been dropped on top of us.
Gladly, he responded. But you're just as much of a criminal as I am.
No, I don't do the things you do, I argued.
No, but you know about the shit I do. That makes you an accessory. Keep them coming, this is fun.
I growled, growing frustrated with both the company and the fact that I couldn't find the break in the bush where we'd come in. I set my sights on the rocks, protruding from the perch where Preppy had just jumped in the water, and started climbing them. I didn't know where they led, but anywhere else was the only place I needed to go. I knew this entire day would be a mistake.
You can't go anywhere, Doc,
Preppy said, sounding bored. Oh yeah? And why the hell not? I asked, finding my footing and pulling up. One step down, I looked up. About 70 to go.
You can't go anywhere because you've got nowhere to go, he answered.
Although I knew what he was really saying, that without him keeping my secret from Myrna, I couldn't stay there.
Truth hurts, don't it?
The truth? I asked, growing more irritated by the second. I growled when my foot slipped from a rock. Holding on tighter, I tried again, this time landing my foot on a smooth rock that felt like it would hold. What would you know about truth, about honesty? I asked, looking back over my shoulder where, unfortunately, he was still shirtless, his thumbs tucked into his pockets as he watched me climb. Even though we were arguing, his gaze was fixated on my ass, until he finally decided that my face was also worthy of his attentions. All you've been doing is playing games and toying with me. First you act like you want to kill me, and then you act like you're saving me, then you're ignoring me completely, and now you want to take me out and pretend like you haven't been playing some sort of game with me that I never agreed to play? I shouted, just as the rock I thought would hold gave out,
and I slid the foot and a half I'd climbed back to the ground. I hit the rock with my closed fist and surprised myself when I made a dent.
First, I said you couldn't go anywhere, not because I was being a dick, but because that type of rock you're trying to climb crumbles like chalk and doesn't hold much weight.
I let my forehead fall against my rock nemesis.
Second, I think I liked you better when you were all crying and weepy over your shitty life, because this stubborn chick thing is starting to be a real pain in my dick,
Preppy said.
And last, but not motherfucking least, I may be a lot of things, Doc. A criminal, sure. A very good dresser, absolutely. A man with a huge cock, fuck yes.
His face grew serious.
But I'm no fucking liar.
For the first time, there was no joke behind his words. No cocky smile or punchline to follow.
Yeah?
I asked, just as an idea hit me. He'd put me in my place by throwing the H back in my face, and maybe it was time I put him in his.
Then let's find out, I said casually. I hopped back down the rocks and marched right back up to Preppy, who looked amused as hell as I crossed my arms over my chest and tapped my foot on the ground.
Oh, yeah? How do you think you're gonna prove that? I couldn't wait to wipe that smirk right off his face.
Show me, I demanded, pointing to his crotch.
Now we're getting somewhere,
Preppy said, biting his bottom lip. I shook my head.
I don't want to fuck you. I want to see it. All of it. Now.
Since you say you're not a liar, and I've been hearing about this monster cock, this thick dick, this whatever the fuck you seem to want to call the third man living in your pants, it occurred to me that you're probably only talking about it so much because you have some sort of complex about it. Like the way short men are aggressive or the way older men buy sports cars. In my head, I'd already won this challenge and was well on my way back to Myrna's where we could pretend the entire day never happened.
The way I see it, this is me.
I took a step toward him, pushing my index finger into his chest.
Calling your bluff.
I lowered it and pointed again to his pants.
Now strip.
Preppy took a step back, and for a second, I thought he was going to tell me to fuck off. I was already planning my victory flipping off the bird when he slowly tipped his chin up to me, accepting my challenge. He again removed his gun and set it on a rock.
What do I get if you're wrong?
He asked, hooking his thumbs in his pants and boxers, like he was about to pull them down. Yeah, definitely a move by someone who was bluffing. I was calling him out on his, and now he was calling me out on mine.
What do you want?
I asked, curious as to what he would even want.
3 minutes,
he said, without a second of hesitation.
Excuse me?
Not to fuck you,
he said, and I let out the breath I was holding.
That would at least take 4.
He taunted me more by lowering his pants, stopping just above what the fuss was all about.
3 minutes, and I can do whatever I want to you.
What do you want to do?
I asked.
Whatever I want.
I swallowed hard. Oh, he was good. He was really good. I wasn't buying it.
Deal,
I said, taking a step backward, waving for him to continue. But when you say big, I do mean it better be big, I said, although I didn't exactly know how big was. Should we get a ruler or maybe call in a second opinion? I asked, finding it easy to tease the man who'd been dishing it out to me for weeks now. Or maybe some tweezers? Any second, I was sure he was going to fold. I could feel it. I just knew I was right and that he would...
Oh, Doc,
he said, slowly shaking his head from side to side and making a tisk-tisk sound.
You've just made the best mistake of your life.
Without another word, he dropped both his pants and boxers, letting them fall around his ankles. Holy fucking shit.
We done here, Doc?
And although it was him who was naked and exposed, it was also him whose voice was thick and laced with desire.
We good?
Yeah, we're done here, I said, turning my head from side to side to avoid looking, but it was... Wow. I didn't even need a point of reference to know that what he was packing was monstrous. And hard. Preppy cleared his throat, and I was mortified that I'd been caught open-mouth gaping at his dick. So I did what any respectable junkie would do. I turned and bolted.
Oh no,
Preppy said, catching up to me in a few short strides before I'd even reached the first boulder. Damn these short legs.
Let me clarify,
he said, pulling me back against his bare chest.
You are done here because you lost.
He spun me around in his arms and pushed me back against the rocks, his nose almost touching mine, when he leaned down and said something that sounded eerily like a warning. My entire body went on high alert.
But we are most definitely not done here, because I won.
Fuck, I muttered.
No, Doc, not with only 3 minutes.
He lowered his lips to my ear as he added,
But you best fucking believe that I'm going to make the most out of every single second I have.
He pushed his naked hips against my backside and I gasped, and this time I knew for a fact that the hard prodding against my lower back had nothing to do with his gun. No, it was much bigger than that. He shifted his hand so it was flat on my stomach. He dipped his fingers inside my shorts.
Time starts now.
Preppy. 3 minutes. I chose that number for 2 reasons. One, because fucking with Dre was everything I dreamed it would be and more. Two, because the other bets I thought of throwing out there all ended with being balls deep inside of her. And since I was pretty sure she wouldn't agree to that, I played it safe. Or so I thought. After Myrna had given her a little makeover, I found myself panting after her like a dog left out on the porch in the middle of the day. Then I'd shown up to pick her up, and she was wearing shorts so short her long thighs were on full display and her ass cheeks were teasing me, playing a game of peekaboo every time she swayed her hips or took a step. Her hair and makeup weren't as styled as the day before, and her lips were a softer pink instead of the bright red, and I thought just then, for the first time in my life, that a girl was beautiful. I'd thought hot, or fuckable, but beautiful was as new a thought to me as restraint. Not to be confused with restraints. Those I was familiar with. On the water tower, when she was on the verge of ending her life, it was her frailty that piqued my interest. When I brought her unconscious body to Myrna's, it was her weakness that had me stealing a taste of her pussy. And when she turned to me and crossed her arms over her chest, pushing up her tits, challenging me to show my dick so she could verify the size, I thought I was about to cum in my fucking pants right then and there. If I'd thought her weakness was a massive turn-on, it was absolutely jack shit compared to the surge of pure want her show of strength sent, shooting straight through my spine into my ridiculously hard cock. Dre wasn't some random chick at a party who knew what the price was for the all-you-can-snort buffet I so generously provided. She also wasn't one of Bear's BBBs who knew what they were getting into when it came to the bikers and their familiars. All joking and heroin aside, Doc was just an ordinary girl. Only she wasn't. As much as I wanted to leave her alone and pretend we'd never met, it was impossible. Lately, I couldn't even jerk off without picturing her. The whole restraint thing was new, but I still remembered the way she tasted and wanted to know how tight she was. How warm. Dre was always flushed for one reason or another. Anger, sadness, confusion, frustration. I wanted to see what she looked like when she came. I'd pictured it, jerked off to it. I kept her pinned up against the flat rocks with my hips. This wasn't about me, but there was no way I was putting my jeans back on or wasting another fucking second before I put my hands on her. I circled her waist with my other arm and pushed my fingers into her shorts. I heard her quick intake of breath, and my cock responded by hardening even more. There was something about her reaction, whether good or bad, that had me on a level of excitement that surpassed my discovery of U-porn.
"What do you want from me?"
she said, and although I knew she was looking for something deeper than the answer I gave her, I couldn't help myself. "Your tits, your ass, your pussy," I answered honestly, shoving my hand down the front of her shorts with such force the buttons popped open, allowing me more access.
"That's not what I meant,"
she said, trying and failing to turn around in my arms. Her fingers dipped lower until I came in contact with her clit, and I left them there without movement until I felt her squirming for more contact.
"I mean, why do you want to do this? Why do you even want to touch me?"
The words came out before I could stop them. "I have no fucking idea. But I only have 3 minutes to do what I want, so shut the fuck up and stop trying to stall me," I said, gliding over her clit and farther down into her panties, which, much to my delight, were soaking wet.
"What's got you all wet and worked up, Doc? Did you like what you saw?"
I drawled. When she opened her mouth to answer, I shut her up again by rocking against her lower back. The only thing that came out of her mouth was a throaty groan. I rubbed my shaft up and down against her denim-covered ass crack and decided that I hated her little shorts after all. I pulled my hand away and took a small step back, but only to give me enough room to yank down her shorts and her white cotton panties in one move. The naked flesh of her ass was exposed to me, and my mouth watered with the urge to bite it. But time was running out, so I settled for a stinging slap.
"What the fuck?"
she yelped, jumping at the sensation, but settling against the rocks when I kneaded the raised red flesh in the shape of my handprint with my fingers. Standing behind her, fully naked with her ass in front of me and her pussy peeking out from between her legs with Dre bent over, had me questioning this newfound restraint. But, remembering my task, I slipped my hand between her legs and stroked the opening of her pussy a few times before finding her little hardened clit and strumming it with my thumb like I was fucking mad at it. I felt her entire body tighten under my hold. I groaned when she pushed back into me in search of her release, but I had something better in mind. At least something better for me.
"We only have 30 seconds,
I said, continuing to thrust my cock between her ass cheeks as her movements for more grew bolder, pushing back against me harder and harder, as everything inside of her body seemed to tense. She was so fucking close. As one hand continued to stroke her clit, I used the other to gather her wetness dripping down her legs onto my fingers, swiping only briefly over her pussy, and gathered what I needed to make this bet all the more interesting. There was nothing that could distract me from the task at hand, not even the dark urges from the depths of my mind trying to claw their way to the surface.
Chapter 16, Dre. Everything inside of me was hot and tight, and I felt like I was about to explode. When Preppy's hand swiped over my entrance, I knew I was only seconds away from something that excited and scared the shit out of me.
"God damn, Doc. I can feel how close you are. This pussy of yours wants to come all over my fingers."
"Time's almost up," I managed to groan out. Even in my state of ecstasy, I needed to put him in his place.
"Fuck time,"
he growled, pushing one long finger deep inside me. "Ah," I called out, leaning against the rock for support. He was now grinding against me, sliding his cock through the crack of my ass over and over again as he pumped his finger inside me, angling it so that he was pushing against my front wall with his fingertip when he pulled out. I lost my cocky attitude, suddenly, when he lowered his cock and slid the shaft between my legs, through the wetness dripping down my thighs. A flash of Connor holding me down by my head, while Eric raped me from behind, flooded my mind. I was there again, in that dirty motel room, I could smell his stench and relive the fear as they laughed at my cries for help. "Stop, stop, stop, no!" I screamed. It was no longer Preppy behind me, but Eric. There was no more pleasure, only pain. With all the strength I had, I jabbed my elbow into my attacker. Preppy stumbled back with a grunt, holding on to his ribs with one hand, his thick cock purple with his arousal, bobbing up and down as he bent over in pain. I felt an overwhelming tug of guilt when I realized what I'd done, and that it was not Eric but Preppy that I'd done it to. Guilt quickly turned to fear. Preppy stood, straightening his spine, and his eyes darkened. He glanced down to where he was covering his torso, and pulled his hand away, revealing the bright red spot where my elbow had connected with his ribs. He laughed, and in my head it sounded just like Connor's laugh, sending a trickle of fear rippling down my spine.
"Oh, Doc, you did it now."
And then there it was. For the second time I saw it, the spark of evil living behind his cocky smile. Fear crashed into me, and the need to escape was overwhelming. I tried to run, but I forgot where I was, and just as I was about to turn, my back connected with the rock wall. I was trapped. He was on me in a second, towering over me, his face up in my face, his cheek against mine, his cock still hard and hot between us, jutting onto my lower stomach. He reached under my shirt and took a hold of my nipple, pinching it hard. A bolt of pleasure shot straight to my core. I didn't like it. I didn't want him, but yet I wanted him. I felt excited and nervous and strong and weak, and I wanted to give in, but not as much as I wanted to get out. My head was a cloud of confusion, a mixture of fear and want, delivered courtesy of the man glaring at me as if he were about to eat me alive. There was no doubt in my mind that he wouldn't. "Stop, stop, no!" I cried. Preppy watched as a tear fell onto my cheek, following it as it rolled down my face and dripped off my chin onto his chest. That's when I noticed that, in an odd way, he reminded me of Myrna. Except, instead of being unfocused, it was as if he was almost hyper-focused. He reached between my legs and I pushed them together, trying to keep him out, trying to make it all stop. It was too much. He was too much. I was scared. More scared than I'd ever been, but there was nothing I could do to stop him when he pushed his knee between my legs, spreading me open wide. "No! No!" I slapped him across the face as hard as I could. But wherever it was he'd gone, it was like there was no coming back from. He didn't even flinch. I pushed against him as hard as I could, pounding on his chest with my closed fists, kicking him with my legs. "You're just like them," I screamed. "You're just like them," I said, wailing against his chest. He stilled. Slowly, Preppy lifted his head, and when his eyes met mine, it was as if whatever spell he was under had been broken.
"I wouldn't,"
he said, and then he stopped like there was more to say, but he didn't know how to say it. Suddenly he reared back, slamming his fist into the rock above my head with a roar tearing from his throat. The soft rock crumbled into tiny pieces, falling over us in a cloud of dust and debris. He released me, and I dropped to the floor, pulling my knees up to my chest and sobbing out my relief. Preppy moved back hesitantly, one slow step at a time. He watched me cry with confusion written all over his face. For someone who was so aggressive only seconds before, he now looked defeated, vulnerable. He grabbed his jeans and quickly tugged them on.
"I'm not just like them,"
he said, his jaw tight, his fists clenching over and over again.
"Because they didn't stop, did they?"
I shook my head. Preppy ran his hand through his hair and punched the rock for the second time. I yelped. His muscles across his chest and neck tensed. He was breathing erratically. His look drilled me to the rock.
"I'd kill him all over again if I could."
He grabbed his shirt and darted through the opening I wasn't able to find, its location now ridiculously obvious. It made sense that his body was built for sin, because the hold Samuel Clearwater had over me was something straight from the depths of hell.
Chapter 17. Present. Preppy. I was beginning to think I'd never again see the light of day. Or light at all. I didn't even really know where I was being held. All I knew for sure was that the walls and floor were both made of dirt and were cold and damp to the touch on some days and dry and dusty on others. The ceiling felt low, although I couldn't see it. My voice echoed all around me when I talked to myself. There isn't a damned thing a chick could wear that's hotter than high heels. That's a motherfucking fact, I said into the darkness. You can hold on to them when you fuck, too, so they serve a practical purpose. It was I who coined the term handlebars. I coughed up dust, choking on it when I breathed it back in. Surprisingly, the darkness answered me back, and a dim light walked toward me, growing brighter with each step. Shut the fuck up, asshole, Chop muttered, shining his flashlight into my eyes. You know, if you didn't look like Bear's older, uglier doppelganger, I would never think that the two of you were even related. 'Cause even when Bear is PMSing and in a bitch-ass mood, he's still all there upstairs. I pointed at the gray-haired man, staring hatred down on me. You, sir, have a few pumpkins missing from your patch. I swayed and my vision blurred. When it came back into focus a few seconds later, Chop's hovering image shifted from 1 to 3, then back to 1. 1 was still too fucking many. I was lying over the threshold of death's door, yet it was Chop whose eyes held no signs of life, void of anything other than his constant anger. If I didn't want to shove a rock through his skull so badly, I might have pitied the motherfucker at his sad existence, which was fucked up because I was the one bleeding all over the dirt at his feet. No more talking, boy. It's time to shut the fuck up, Chop roared, slamming his hand against the wall beside my head. I didn't flinch, not because I was being a badass, but because my reflexes were shot to shit. I could tell by the way his nostrils flared that my lack of reaction was taken as yet another act of defiance. He swallowed hard, like he was holding back. From where I was sitting, that was a fucking first for the sadistic bastard. A few seconds passed where we just stared at one another. If the motherfucker wanted a contest of wills, he was going to lose, because it wasn't like I had anywhere else to be but hell. And from the looks of things, I was pretty sure I was already there. After a moment, a smirk crept onto his face, deepening the wrinkles around his eyes. He seemed satisfied that I was going to do what I was told, which was basically shut up and bleed. He turned around and started walking away. He was wrong. Just one more question, and it's a serious one. I managed to scratch out, my throat feeling as if someone with sharp nails was trying to claw their way out from the inside. Chop paused mid-stride, and I could almost see the hair on the back of his arms stand on end. I coughed. Warm, coppery fluid filled my mouth, coating my teeth. I was used to the taste at that point and knew exactly what it was before it poured past my lips and dribbled down my chin, falling onto what was left of my shirt. "Does this place have Wi-Fi?" I asked, spitting blood as I spoke. "Because if not, I'm seriously going to have to take that into consideration in my Yelp rating. I will say, though, that the torture is excellent." I went to lift my arm, and a wave of pain assaulted my ribs. I winced but kept talking, enjoying the look on Chop's red face as he slowly turned around, cracking his knuckles and stomping his way back toward me. However, the staff doesn't give me that warm, tingly feeling I've come to expect from such an establishment, not to mention they're ugly as all fuck. Chop picked up the bat leaning against the wall and turned it over in his hands. He crouched down beside me and pointed at my head with the thick, splintered end. "Are you done now?" he asked, white-knuckling the handle. "Nope," I said, shaking my head,
slowly from side to side, ignoring the dizziness from earlier that again threatened to take hold. I slid my hand from my thigh to my crotch, grabbing my dick over my torn khakis. "You can also suck my cock, bitch." Chop's goal in life was to hurt me. Little did he know that nothing he could do to my body could match the pain in my broken heart. If only I would have listened to her when she told me no. When she told me to stop and stay away. Then I wouldn't have felt like the torture Chop doled out was a pain only secondary to the hurt in my heart, put there by a little junkie. A pain that hit a lot harder than Chop ever could.
Chapter 18. Dre. Sleep didn't come easy. Or at all. I was restless. My thoughts on what had happened in the clearing. Preppy had said that he was over what happened to him as a kid, and although I was sure he believed it was the truth, there was no way it was reality. I rolled over, tugging the blanket with me, when I suddenly felt an awareness as if I wasn't alone. In the darkness, I caught a glimpse of the reflection in the full-length mirror behind the closed door, and for a second, it looked as if someone was standing over me. At first, I thought it was just the haziness of sleep, lingering over my eyes that caused the shadow, until it moved. I sat up with a start, preparing to scream when a large hand covered my mouth, muffling my attempt to call for help.
"How many times?"
Preppy asked. I couldn't answer him if I wanted to, because his hand was still covering my mouth. He lifted it off my lips slowly, like he was waiting to see if I'd scream or not. When he was sure I wouldn't, he stood up and wandered about the room, looking over the pictures on the dresser. "What are you doing?" I asked. "Why are you here?" Preppy stepped up to the bed, turning around a picture of Myrna holding me as a baby.
"I like this one,"
he said, placing it on the nightstand next to the alarm clock. He sat down next to me on the bed.
"How many times, Doc? How many times did they fuck you when you didn't want them to?"
My chest tightened as the panic set in. I shook my head. "I don't want to talk about—"
"Just tell me."
He rubbed his temples and looked more tired than I'd ever seen him look.
"Please,"
he said, lowering his voice to a whisper. "I don't really know. It didn't start until the end. Before that, everything was about the H. I wasn't awake for all of it," I said, hating to hear the words come out of my mouth because it made it even more true. Preppy nodded, and in a move that surprised me, he reached out and took my hand, linking his fingers in mine. I went to pull away, but changed my mind when he said,
"Please. I was just a kid when it started,"
he said, in a very serious and solemn voice.
"At first, I didn't know what was happening, or why, but I knew it was wrong. The fucked up part was that I began to think it was normal. That being made to suck cock was just like taking out the trash, or doing your homework."
I felt sick, wrapping my arms around my midsection. "Tim?" I asked. Preppy gave me a small nod. He swung his legs up on the bed, so he was sitting next to me with his back against the headboard, his hand still in mine.
"By the time I was actually old enough for my dick to get hard, I began to like it."
He pinched his bottom lip and his shoulders shook in a small burst of sad laughter.
"That's the part that made me sick to my stomach. I'd throw up all the time. Could barely hold anything down. I was like a walking skeleton. Told the nurse at school I had some weird disease that I looked up in an encyclopedia, so she wouldn't ask too many questions."
I squeezed his hand and he squeezed back.
"I was 9 when he first fucked me. The actual penetration. I hated him for it. But then when I was alone, I couldn't even get my dick hard without thinking about him, of all people."
He adjusted his bow tie, something that I learned was pretty much his only nervous tick. "Where was your mom?" I asked. "You said she was neglectful.
Did she work a lot? The bitch was right there. Right fucking there, under the same tin roof of the same piece of shit trailer. Tim, he was the guy who had his card punched the most in my mom's ever-revolving door of losers she needed to support her habits. Where is she now? Preppy shrugged. She left me. With him. Just ran away and left me with Chester the molester. You don't need to joke. Doesn't matter. It's not fucking funny. He ran a hand down his beard. Do you know where she is now? Fucking rotting in the ground, hopefully. I don't waste a lot of time thinking of someone who's a waste of space on this earth. After Tim, he glanced over to me. Left? I smirked, and this time it was Preppy who squeezed my hand first. I was a wild kid, and I was free. King and I got our own place, and things were great. I realized that what Tim did hadn't changed who I was deep down inside. He smiled. I especially knew this the moment I saw April Trenton, from 9th grade, in a tiny blue bikini top. That was life-changing. I laughed and nudged his shoulder. King's the one who told me that living with regret and hatred would just give Tim the power he wanted over me. Said it was no kind of life to be living. So I decided to embrace the good along with the bad, and I did. Never looked back. Stop being alive and start living, he told me, and it stuck. Never even felt a shred of guilt for a damn thing I did since that very day until... Until when? Until today. He looked me in the eye. I didn't mean... He blew out a breath and looked at the wall. I didn't mean to scare you. It wasn't just you. I freaked out. I saw... I sucked in a breath. It's just all so fresh. He let go of my hand and rolled over onto his side, propping himself up on his elbow to face me. I want us to be friends, Doc. Friends? Why? I said, unable to help my smile. Because your other friends aren't around? Preppy reached over and pushed some hair out of my face, his fingers lingering, tracing my cheekbone and then my lips. I have no fucking idea. But what I do know is that I've never been friends with a girl before, so you'll have to walk me through it. I don't know how much help I can be. I pretty much ran all of my friends off, I said. Good. Then we can learn together. Especially since we're kind of stuck with each other since I'm blackmailing you. That you are. And since we're going to be working together. Working together on what? I asked. Tomorrow, bright and early, I'll show you what I mean. Preppy stood up, and I thought he was going to leave, but he kicked off his shoes and took off his shirt, folding it neatly on the nightstand. He tugged off his jeans, revealing black boxers underneath. What are you doing? We're friends now, right? Preppy asked, with an excited look in his eyes. Yeah, I drawled, suspicious of why he needed to be undressed for us to be friends. But we're not those kinds of friends. The kind that have sleepovers? He asked. Are we 12? I wasn't able to hide my laugh as Preppy maneuvered his body into the twin bed. I had no choice but to either scoot over or be crushed. The only way for him to fit was for both of us to lay on our sides. He laid his head on the pillow facing me, his thighs pressed up against mine, our noses only inches from one another, as our knees and thighs tangled together. I don't sleep much, he admitted. I don't either, I admitted. Too much on your mind? That and the blow. Preppy's arms moved under the covers, and suddenly a large warm hand was covering my breast. Good night, he said, closing his eyes and taking a deep breath. I grabbed his wrist and pushed it back. Friends don't fondle one another,
Bullshit, sure they do, Preppy argued, his eyes popping back open. Do you fondle Bear and King? Preppy yawned, closed his eyes again, and settled into the pillow.